It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It wasn't fun watching the Minnesota Vikings take that L last night to the Detroit Lions, 31-9. Now, sitting here, and I'm like, man, I'm going to turn on Channel 9 maybe later tonight, because oftentimes our next guest joining us on the John Schuster Callbaker hotline, he's on there, the legendary Minnesota Viking running back Chuck Foreman, the spin doctor. I wanted the spin doctor to come on because I knew he wasn't going to give me no spin. He was going to keep it real with me tonight. He's going to give me his unfiltered takes on what he saw for the Minnesota Vikings. First off, Happy New Year to you, Chuck. I hope that you're doing well, man. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, hey, thank you very much. You know, and it's been a good New Year so far, except for last night. It was kind of the first 2.5 quarters were pretty good and competitive, but after that, you know, we had some difficulties, but all in all, you know, who thought we would be 14-3 at this particular time of the season, and now everybody's 0-0.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. I never in a million years would have thought that they would have been 14-3. Right. Nobody saw the Sam Darnold resurrection happening. But let's start with Sam Darnold, because I think that fans today are looking at the performance from last night. And look, clearly it was the biggest game to this point in his career, right? Like, he had never been in a game of that magnitude, and now he's going to have to go into the postseason next Monday against the Rams. Are you concerned about the confidence or maybe the lack of experience in big games for Sam Darnold?
No, I'm not. I think yesterday, you know, for anybody to be successful in this business, especially offensively, you have to have everything in place, especially up front. I thought he was under pressure the entire game. I think everything that they did offensively was not working because, you know, they were defended really, really well. You know, Detroit did a great job on that. When you look at the receivers, you look at J.J., and you look at the defensive back that they had. I forgot his name, number 21 for Detroit. Is it Robinson? I'm not sure his name.
The player last night that was matched up with them, Amik.
They did a great job covering him one on one the whole night, and yeah. Now certainly Sam was pressured a lot and he overthrew some of the receivers, but you know, there were some passes that could have been caught. But the bottom line is that, you know, Sam was under pressure the whole night, and it's not just him. It was the whole offensive scheme that was, you know, under pressure. And so that was the result. You know, we didn't do well at all. We were in the red zone, what, four times? Came away with nothing.
And you kept coming away with nothing. You're 100% right. Amik Robinson, he did have a really good game against Justin Jefferson. But
right.
did you anticipate that they would pressure Sam Darnold or the Vikings in the way that they did? Because I didn't see that one coming.
Well, I knew they would try to put pressure on him, but I thought we would handle it better. And we didn't. And then, you know, we put the one-on-one coverage with Robinson, you know, that surprised me how well he was going to do it, but that guy can play.
Yeah.
And so that took him out. And then so we went to the running game. There was nothing there because all they had to do was concentrate on that because he had all that covered out there. And it seemed to me that he missed a little bit of Jordan, you know. And there we go.
Yeah. And the other thing, about it, Chuck, I tweeted prior to the game, probably maybe like 30 minutes before the game started, the person I thought could be an X factor in last night's game, and he wasn't at all because of the pressure that Sam Darnold was getting, mm-hmm. and Sam getting a little bit of happy feet, was I thought that T.J. Hockenson was probably primed to have a big game, and he just wasn't never able to really get involved. Especially, I thought of all the things early on in the game. That opening drive, they had an opportunity to get a very nice key third down, and that was one of those balls from Sam Darnold that just was out of reach, and they could never get on the same page.
Yeah, but normally he'd catch that.
Yeah.
So he was not on, you know, on point either last night. So they took all that away. We never played well, you know, up front. And Sam was just under pressure the entire game. Now, he could have played a lot better. But he seemed to be rushed on his passes and overthrew, made him threw passes high, and passes that he would normally make. And so the bottom line is you have to give Detroit credit. They came with a great, great defensive plan, and they executed really, really well. So, and that's what we had, you know, 2.5 quarters of great football, and then the last, you know, part of the game, we didn't do much at all.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. We're talking to Vikings great Chuck Foreman here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm with you, Chuck. I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not
sure about that.
Yeah, I think that we're a better team than the Rams are. Now, I will say this, though. Matthew Stafford is the real deal. I'm going to put some respect on his name. You know, he's got some good wideouts, so I do respect
right.
I do respect their offense. Their defense surprised me earlier in the year when they beat us at L.A. But I guess I want to ask you about the running game. When
right.
we got down into the red zone, do you think that we ran enough? Because I thought that I'm with Kevin O'Connell in that you got to come out of there with touchdowns as opposed to field goals to beat a good team like Detroit. But I wasn't sure that we ran it enough.
I'm in agreement with you, but as far as points go, when you get down there like that,
mm-hmm.
especially early in the game, I'm taking points. I'm
yep.
not taking, you know, the fourth down, try to get the touchdown deal. And if they would have done that, they would have been like a touchdown behind instead of like, you know, two possessions behind.
Yep.
And so that's where I differ with that decision. So, you know, I think the Vikings, you know, they took the gamble and they lost. Detroit, they gambled and won, you know, because sooner or later that's going to catch up with them too.
Yeah.
If they continue that way.
You know, one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I definitely want to get your perspective on this.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, I said, man, I think a few Vikings fans ain't going to like me when I say this. But I like Aaron Jones. I think he's an explosive running back. I think he does a lot of really good things. I do get concerned at this particular point in his career how nicked up he gets and him missing key portions of games. Like when he missed out on time last night, that was a significant possession or two coming out of halftime. Do I think that he's a reliable guy? 100%. But how do you view our running back tandem and dynamic going into the postseason?
Well, I like our running backs for sure, you know. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, Aaron, he brings it every play. So he's not that big of a guy either. So you have to expect that he may get, you know,
yep.
nicked up here and there. And then the backup that we have, Akers, I mean, he's a great player too. So I'm not that much concerned about that. But what I am concerned about is the fact that the offensive line was not up to par, our last game. And so, it's what's up front that counts for sure. And so, I mean, Aaron, yeah, he gets dinged up a little bit here and there, but, that's because he brings it every play, and he's not that big of a guy, like I said. And so have a running back tandem is a great thing to have, and I think we do have two really fine running backs.
Yeah, I got to ask you, that play with Jared Goff, wasn't that intentional grounding, or did you see it differently?
I thought it was intentional grounding, no doubt about it. So, but they gave it to him.
They gave it to him, man. Really ticked me off because I'm like, where is the – look, if you want to make the comment that there was a tight end guy that was somewhere around him, yeah, I would give you that. But he wasn't trying to throw the ball to him. That's the thing.
No doubt about it. So that was the call that hurt us. And, the NFL, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They miss a lot of calls.
So you're not concerned at all about the L.A. Rams? You are pretty confident that the Vikings end up winning the game?
I didn't say I was not concerned about them.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not at all. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely concerned about them. But this is a challenge for our team. They lost to a great football team, no doubt. We were in the game 2.5 quarters, so that's a good thing. So the thing is, in this playoffs, situation. Everybody is 0-0. And the thing is, can our players like put that behind them?
Yeah.
And going to move forward to this other team they got to play, the LA Rams, who beat them. But that was a few months ago. And now we're in the playoffs. Everybody is 0-0. So it's a whole new game. It's a whole new mindset. And the challenge is, can our players get to that level of mental preparation?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key, because it's a whole different game in the playoffs.
In today's Minnesota Star Tribune, Neil Justin has a great piece on you and another Vikings veteran doing autographs and watch parties, which I think is super cool because, to me, I like to be amongst the greats, and you're one of the greats. And so you and, some of your teammates throughout the last few years have been able to get out and about amongst the fans, not just here in Minnesota but in other places. Talk a little bit about just kind of like how that makes you feel and being a part of being amongst the fans for different watch parties and stuff like that, because I thought it was a great piece.
Well, it's a good thing because, we haven't played in such a long time, but the fact that we are remembered and appreciated for what we accomplished back in our time is a great compliment. And the fact that we're still in demand to do those kind of things is even special. But the special thing for us is the fact that we can get out there and mingle with our fans. And, it really is a great, great experience for us, because they are celebrating our accomplishments. And from my perspective, everywhere I go, it's a great, great day, a great, great evening. And they're really, really, special.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And I think that one of the cool things that is talked about in the article, it says that you advised one youngster with NFL dreams to spend less time playing video games and more time outside. That's the wisdom that they need, Chuck.
No doubt about it, because a lot of them, they spend too much time on those video games instead of being out doing the things that they need to do to get better. And so hopefully they'll take that advice and run with it. But, for the most part, you give it and you see where they go with it. That's all you can do.
Yeah. All right, last thing for you, Chuck, and we appreciate the time. We're talking to the Spin Doctor himself, Chuck Foreman, here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you got to point out one or two specific things that the Minnesota Vikings have to do to get themselves reintegrated and their minds right and getting prepared for that first playoff game against the LA Rams, what would you say?
Control the line of scrimmage on offense, and defensively continue what you're doing. That's what I can say, because when you control the line up front, both on in defense and offense, you control the game.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, you got a watch party next Monday or what? Or are you going to tell me about that a little bit later in the week?
Well, I don't know if we're going to do one this Monday because I think I want to relax and just watch the game. But certainly we'll be right there watching it.
I hear you. Well, I appreciate the time, Chuck. Be well, man, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that's Chuck Foreman checking in. Talking Minnesota Viking football right here on the Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bite of the Night, and that's next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Well, you just heard from Vikings great Chuck Foreman saying to all of you, let's not panic. Let's not overreact when we're talking about Sam Darnold. Yes, yeah, Sam did not have a good night last night, but we know that Sam Darnold can be a good quarterback for this team. Well, earlier today, and this is definitely the bite of the night. It's Vikings related. Stephen A. Smith is talking to Dan Orlovsky, and Stephen A. Smith says that he doesn't trust Sam Darnold in the playoffs.
We're not discrediting what Detroit accomplished. My God, they're 15-2. Aaron Glenn, we're talking about him being a prime head coaching candidate. We're looking at Dan Campbell as arguably the best coach in football. We're not discrediting anything about Detroit. What we're saying is when you got 13 dudes on the injured list on the defensive side of the ball alone, that's not supposed to happen. And the fact that it's not about Minnesota losing Dan Orlovsky. It's about them being held to 9 points. It's about them being denied a touchdown. It's about Darnold being in the red zone and throwing 6 straight incompletions. 2 of them touchdown misses to Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, was open. It's talking about that. He clearly has had a great season. Nobody's denying that Sam Darnold just has a great season. But you see, Dan Orlovsky wants to answer the question he wants to answer. Yes, Sam Darnold has the capability to win playoff games, to do some things. But the question is, do you trust him? Trust!
So you, hell so who do you no. trust? Who
you
do
can't
trust more
say
next
that you
week
trust. You Monday? Can't say that you trust Monday? With his history and last night. What happened last? You can't say the word trust. You can't do that.
Vikings at Rams. That one's Monday night. ESPN, ABC. That's gonna be a tough one for you.
He said, Stephen A. went off. He said, "Heck no, you can't trust him." You can't trust him. We're talking about trust.
We talk about trust? We ain't talking about confidence.
All right, so to finish off the the Sam Darnold talk, I can't disagree with Stephen A. from one particular perspective. I'm not saying that I don't trust Sam Darnold. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay? What I'm saying is I don't know. I don't know if we can or can't. It's going to come down to Monday. Put it like this. It's 651-461-9226. Sam Darnold is either going to make a lot of money next Monday or he's going to lose a lot of money. Because he lost money last night. He did. Let's just go off of what it is. He did. He lost money last night. He is under the microscope of being a big-time free agent. And quite frankly, if they don't win on Monday, does he get the franchise tag?
I don't know. And I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this earlier, and I didn't want to say it between breaks. I wanted to get your organic reaction here. I feel like Sam Darnold is playing for his career. Next Monday is going to define in a lot of people's minds who Sam Darnold is. Because coming into the season, he was an afterthought. He was a bust. He was washed up. What were the Vikings doing? He's going to be maybe 4 or 5 games at best. He plays like this, and all of a sudden people are like, man, the Vikings would be dumb to let him go. They need to sign him to a long-term deal. You know, where's Sam Darnold's next stop if he's not in Minnesota? People are talking about all of these Sam Darnold scenarios. And then the clock reaches midnight, and the carriage turns back into a pumpkin. And now we've seen good Sam, and we've seen bad Sam. We didn't see good Sam until this year, but now we've seen good Sam, but bad Sam, it's recency bias. So what exactly are we?
Well, in sports, they say you're as good as your last game.
Yeah. And that's
what they say.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, if he goes out there and plays well, but the Vikings lose, does that factor in? Does he have to put up 300 yards and 4 touchdowns? Does he have to match Matthew Stafford? Does he have to play game manager? And it's a lower scoring game. So many things at play. And I'm going to be really, really interested because I feel like we are going to find out who Sam Darnold is a week from tonight.
Mm. So you are ready to say that next Monday, with the season on the line, because every game, it's win or go home.
Yes.
You're saying that is who he is.
Yes. I'm saying that is who Sam Darnold is. Because we've seen that
what if it's Sam Darnold throws, he's 24 of 28 for 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and they lose.
I think you showed that he can compete in a game like that. And let me put it this way. If Sam Darnold throws for 300 and 2 touchdowns, doesn't turn the ball over.
And he's not the reason you lose.
He's not the reason you lose.
And he's not the reason
you lose. I think it all, how much liability, how much culpability does Sam Darnold have next Monday, good or bad? I think a lot of that, because right now he is the number one scapegoat for the Vikings. Like, he is the number one. Fans are looking at it. They're not saying lack of a running game. They're not saying Justin Jefferson. Everybody's looking at the quarterback and saying Sam Darnold was the reason they lost. And I think that Sam Darnold was the reason they lost. But he's also been the reason, a big reason, why they're 14-3.
Oh, no.
We can't have it both ways.
People cannot sit here that Sam Darnold isn't the biggest reason why they're 14-3. I think he's the biggest reason. The biggest.
Yes.
We saw what this team was last year when we had Josh Dobbs and
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know?
Hey, man, Joshua Dobbs had a better week than Sam Darnold. He threw for like over 300 yards and scored ran for 1, passed for 2. Now, granted, that was against the Rams backups, but, you know.
The texter says, or texter asks a question, or they say this puts a different spin on the McCarthy discussion, maybe too far ahead. I'm text. I don't know what you mean by that. You got to clarify what are you meaning by that. They go on to say that Justin lined up in the backfield. Vikes were called for delay, I believe. No, that was the lined up in the backfield one. That was the one in which they were saying on NBC. Remember, they paused it. It wasn't a delay in that instance. They stopped the play from being run.
They had to, respot the ball.
They had to respot the ball, and the defense got an opportunity to see that Justin Jefferson is going to be in the backfield. And if you're a Vikings fan, you hated that because you're not able to surprise him.
Anymore. Yeah, maybe they because you spot the ball, you get there, Justin Jefferson's in the backfield. You could have run a little drag route or out towards the pylon, and it would have been easy. And again, that's just where I feel like some of those, I kind of understand where it's like, okay, we're going to show it to you. You think we're going to run something else. We're going to come back with the same formation. Guess what? We are going to run the same play.
Yep.
I don't necessarily blame him.
I wasn't mad at that.
No, a lot of other things I can be mad at more than that.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then Fox Sports 1. Oh, boy. They have a little bit of a scandal. And I wonder how they're going to deal with it. We get to that next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Oh, we got a scandal. Fox Sports 1. And I'm not the guy that watches, because everybody loves the sports debate shows. I don't watch FS1 for that. Okay, so let me be clear. I do watch some of the debate stuff from time to time. I don't watch it every single day. So, like, the last couple days I haven't watched, last 3 or 4 days I haven't watched First Take. I'll see some of the clips a little bit later on social media, which can become talkers on this show. We just played one, Bite of the Night. That was from Stephen A. Smith earlier today. I think that the debate shows can be fun, But FS1 has not been a program that I have ever really went to for debate. Even when Shannon Sharpe was on, was it Undisputed? Between, that was him,
him and Skip Bayless.
Him and Skip Bayless. Yeah. I never really watched that show. I would see some reruns of the show and some clips of the show, but I wasn't a dedicated watch it all the time.
You weren't a P1 sitting down in front of it or DVRing it.
But the thing about FS1 that I appreciate and that I love, excuse me, is the fact that FS1, they play a lot of games. And when I mean games, I'm talking about like college basketball games, college football games. I watch for games, okay? FS1. Mm-hmm. FS1 also, or FS2, they have horse racing on there and stuff like that.
I thought you were going to say horse something else. I'm like, well, that's what I kind of think of it at times.
There's stuff that I enjoy watching on FS1 and 2, you know, Fox Sports in general, outside of debate shows.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, we know that FS1 has been popular because of some of the debate shows that they've had. And right now, they are in the spotlight, and it's not good. Fox is in the spotlight for allegations of sexual harassment and there's a lot of talk. If you go to Joy Taylor and you just type her name into Twitter, you don't even have to type her name into Twitter.
It automatically
shows she's trending. She's trending because there's some pretty racy allegations involving her and other people at Fox Sports. So front office sports broke the news that there's a former hairstylist alleges in a lawsuit against the network that a network executive used his position to sexually harass women, as well as that Skip Bayless touched her inappropriately and propositioned her for sex. This lawsuit, people, is 42 pages long. 42 pages long. Fox, Fox Sports, FS1, FS2, Fox Sports Executive Vice President Charlie Dixon, Skip Bayless, and FS1 host Joy Taylor are all listed as defendants in the lawsuit. In the suit filed last Friday in L.A., the hairstylist alleges that Dixon, he's the head of content for FS1, that he grabbed her behind at a birthday party in West Hollywood, her buttocks. When she relayed the encounter to Taylor, the Fox host allegedly told her to get over it, according to the suit. That's not good. Like,
you don't tell somebody who's been sexually assaulted to get over it.
If I'm at a holiday party and somebody groped me, and I said to Chris Tubbs that somebody groped me, and he said just to get over it.
God, you're lucky.
That's not.
Who was it?
That would not be appropriate.
No, it wouldn't.
So now, on top of that, though, because this hairstylist, she worked on a bunch of different shows, was working on Undisputed, said that Skip Bayless started giving her lingering hugs and kisses on the cheek while putting his body against hers and pressing against her breast. She said she told him she was not interested in him and did not date at work. She also claimed she told Bayless she was suffering from ovarian cancer after developing issues with her left ovary in an effort to halt his advances. Bayless became more aggressive over the years. According to the suit, he allegedly offered her, this is just insane, $1.5 million to have sex with him. And he claimed he could change her life. That's crazy.
That's gross.
The other part, or something else that is alleged in the suit, is that approximately 1 week later, Mr. Bayless made another advance to the hairstylist. She responded, "Skip, stop. You have a wife." He responded, "Aren't you Muslim? Doesn't your dad have 3 to 4 wives?" She responded that her father was dead. And when Mr. Bayless looked taken aback, she made an excuse to leave. Now, Skip Bayless is in some hot water. Mm-hmm. He's no longer with Fox, but he's still in hot water. Like, that just...
This doesn't go away because Skip Bayless does.
Yeah, this is... Well, it doesn't go away for him, because, like, he's still him.
No, that's what I mean. Like, no matter where Skip Bayless, I mean, even though he's not...
Yeah, he's still got to deal with this.
Yeah, he's got to deal with it. Yeah.
Now, she also, in all of this stuff talking about Fox, she basically lays out things about other people, because what she's establishing here is that there's a culture at Fox, okay? And so she gets, and she goes, end up going back. She's talking about the culture. She's talking about how people are allowed to be misogynistic, ableist in the workplace. Executives and talent are allowed to physically and verbally abuse people, and nothing ever happens. It's a toxic culture. So she lays all of that out there, right? But then she goes on to start talking about Joy Taylor. And the Joy Taylor stuff is the stuff that really has people have latched on to.
Yeah.
Because Joy Taylor is one of the hosts for one of the shows. She ascended.
It's like Speakeasy, I think, is the name of it.
I think that's the show she's on now. Because she, for a short time, she was part of the Colin Cowherd show.
Oh, yep, yeah.
And the hairstylist cleared Colin Cowherd. Said, Colin Cowherd, the nicest gentleman at FS1. I never had any issues with him. But what she claims is that Joy Taylor cheated on her husband with the executive at FS1 so that she could climb the ladder there, and that she was having an inappropriate and physical relationship with Emmanuel Acho. So the reason why there's so many dominoes that could potentially fall here is, what does this mean for Skip Bayless ever for the rest of his career? Because he's not going to ESPN. FS Fox is done with them.
Yeah.
I don't think that he is going to end up landing somewhere else big.
He's going to have to end up doing the Jay Mariotti thing and just kind of do his own.
Yeah, do his own thing.
He's going to have to do his own thing.
The other thing that comes out of this is, we don't know what's real. We don't know what's fake. We don't know what's true. We don't know what's false. But this is pretty damning for Joy Taylor. Like, there's some smoke there. And the reason why I say that there's some smoke there is because she married, and then she ended up getting a divorce, and then she was also supposed to be engaged to Earl Watson, the former NBA basketball player, and Earl Watson stepped away because I think that maybe he got wind of some things that weren't on the up and up. And so that's something. And then Emmanuel Acho, he has got this squeaky clean, I'm a Christian, I love God reputation. Bro, this does not fit. From Skip Bayless offering $1.5 million for sex, that he essentially made the derogatory comment about her being Muslim. He accused her of having sex with Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp's probably looking like, what? What's going on here? And she did not mention this. This is something that Bayless basically tried to throw in. Did you hear what Skip Bayless also said?
No, I know been throwing a lot of shade at Shannon Sharp.
It wasn't Skip Bayless. I'll take that back. Jason Whitlock he's trying to say that Skip Bayless said that. He's saying that he said. He said she said.
Jason Whitlock.
That Jenny Taft had a thing with Shannon Sharp. It's just like, what's going on here?
It's like Joy Taylor did what this stylist wouldn't do. You know, I mean, she slept with somebody to work her way up. She did all of this, and now is, you know, having...
They're saying that Fox executive Charlie Dixon gave Joy Taylor undisputed as a reward for hooking up with him.
Okay. Well, Emmanuel Acho, you know, that's an uncomfortable conversation. Emmanuel Acho, that's an uncomfortable conversation with a black man right there.
That was nicely done.
Like that?
That was nicely done.
I mean, he just kind
of... The Dixon guy's in a lot of trouble, though.
Oh, yeah, this is not anything to make light of. And then, how are you?
I didn't see this one. Dixon is also, there's an allegation that he paid off Earl Watson after the engagement was broke off to silence him.
What? Really?
Yeah, because Dixon, I guess Dixon allegedly paid the couple's wedding deposits.
Oh my God! Wow. Like, you got to have Joy Taylor so bad that you have to pay off Earl Watson and like cover all of the wedding costs? Like, this is nuts.
Well, hold on. At that point, if you're outed and you don't want it to get out, you're probably going to pay off Earl Watson.
Yeah, that's true.
That just makes sense. I mean, if you're already your hand is caught in the cookie jar.
Yeah,
you're probably going to do that because they're not getting married anymore, and they've already put money down to get married for a deposit. Yeah, I'm not mad at him for that.
No, this is it's an insane story, and not in a good way. Not in a good way.
Oh my goodness. Oh, my man from the 612 has been texting in. Oh, you're good, man.
Yeah.
He says he'll take a back row seat and just listen for a bit. You're all good,
man. He's sharp as a mushroom. Well, sometimes I feel like we've had mushrooms and did the show. So I understand.
I've never done a mushroom in my life.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Neither have I.
Oh, man. We're a little bit late, but we'll get to headlines. We'll do that next. All right, let's get into headlines. I might have to talk about the Wolves here later in the hour because they are getting rolled at home. This is the worst case scenario for the Minnesota Timberwolves this season coming off of a Western Conference Finals.
Oh, yeah, it was, I don't know, Tim Connelly, one trade before the season a couple years ago, Rudy Gobert, took him a while. I mean, it's going to take him a while with Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, but yeah, right now early returns are not good. Let's go ahead and get into headlines. Minnesota Republicans have filed a lawsuit against Governor Tim Walz after the governor called a special election where the DFL candidate was recently ruled ineligible over residency requirements. Republicans are now asking the state Supreme Court to halt the election, which is scheduled for January 28th. State Party Chair Alex Plekash told Blois Olson on the Sunday Take that Walz broke the state law in doing so. Quote, Governor Walz, as you know, called a special election for a vacancy that has not yet occurred and to issue a writ that on its face violates the law by depriving residents of the statutory notice period. That's a flagrant violation of Minnesota election law. Now, Walz defended his actions in a statement saying that the state law requires the governor to call a special election as soon as possible. Republicans are trying to use the courts to prevent Democratic legislators from being seated. Lawsuit comes after a judge granted Republican candidate Paul Wilkstrom's contest of the results of the House race after finding that his Democratic opponent, Curtis Johnson, did not establish residency in District 40B. Johnson won the race by over 30 points in the heavily Democratic district. Seat is just one of four with state lawmakers heading into the legislative session. Minnesota Senate remains tied and a special election is also scheduled for January 28th following the death of DFL Senator Carrie Diedzic, who is battling ovarian cancer.
Now, so the person that they had the controversy about whether they lived in the area or not, they withdrew, right?
Yes, they were.
And so now the issue is doing another election for
another
the spot,
election.
Right?
Yes.
So I guess my question would be, because first off, withdrawing and that he needed to withdraw. Like, if there's controversy about where you actually live, then go ahead and step aside.
Yeah.
But are they saying that should automatically go to a Republican? Because I'm not sure that should be the case. Well, what's the problem with having another election there?
I mean, to me, it would be like, yeah, you have another election.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you don't just give it to the opponent. But yeah, well,
one thing I was never for was just if the guy wasn't living there and that was shady, you got to step aside. And I'm glad they did.
Absolutely, 100%. What
you can't be doing that.
You can't be doing that. Come on. Hey, speaking of someone that resigned, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced his resignation earlier today in the face of rising discontent over his leadership and after the abrupt departure of his finance minister signaled growing turmoil within the government. An official familiar with the matter said Parliament, which had been due to resume on January 27th, will be suspended until March 24th. timing will allow for a Liberal Party leadership race. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak about the matter publicly. All three main opposition parties have said they plan to topple the Liberal Party in a no-confidence vote when the parliament resumes. So a spring election to pick a permanent replacement was almost already assured.
Can we, at some point before the show is over tonight, play some Parliament? We got to find at least one Parliament song tonight. It's got to get played.
Okay.
Just because of this news story.
All right, Parliament. I thought you were going to want me to play "Oh Canada." I can do that too. Oh Canada, our home and native land.
Maybe Justin Trudeau just didn't want Melania staring in his eyes over the next 4 years.
Oh, he's a good-looking dude. I mean, let's be honest, Donald Trump or Justin Trudeau? I mean, I take the sexiness of JT. That is the JT that's bringing sexy back. Yeah. All right. Let's see. One more here. Let's go down to the entertainment. Neil Young is setting the record straight about his upcoming appearance at the Glastonbury 2025. Legendary musician took to his personal blog. Who's got a blog anymore? Apparently, Neil Young.
Talk about people have blogs, man. What's wrong with a blog?
I mean, I guess maybe I hear it as a Substack, but it's just like a blog. I'm like, okay, that's neat. But anyway.
Hating on bloggers.
No, I mean, you're talking about that old technology that you use that nobody else uses? I guess it's got to be the blog.
Got to be the blog.
Got to be the blog, baby. He went to his personal blog on Friday to say he will, in fact, be playing at the celebrated UK-based fest after previously announcing he'd pulled out of the commitment. Quote, due to an error in the information received, I decided to not play the Glastonbury Festival, which I've always loved. He said, happily, the festival is now back on our itinerary. We look forward to playing. Hope to see you there. Now, he signed his missive with the Neil Young and the Chrome Hearts. He did not clarify what error he had received. Now, early this month, the Heart of Gold singer announced on the same website he was backing out of a set because of a request made by the festival's corporate partner, the British broadcaster, the BBC. I mean, we know that's huge. We will not be playing Glastonbury on this tour because it is a corporate turnoff and not for me like it used to be. Now, he did not elaborate on what claim the festival had wanted him and his band to do during their set caused him to pull out of performing initially.
Hmm.
I kind of like when, like, if somebody's going to go back on something, then great. You know, because we hear about artists all the time pulling out of something, but we never hear them issue a statement when they say, hey, you know what? It's back on.
Give people reasons, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Explain yourself.
Validation.
Explain yourself.
Yeah. Explain yourself.
All right, that's going to wrap up headlines. Coming up next, man, Ranball, Michael Rann, he weighed in on this test for the Minnesota Vikings and their fans. That up next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.